Victory has been declared this morning. Amen. I don't know if you know this or not. We serve a God who's victorious. He does not know defeat. He has not been defeated. He will not be defeated. The enemy cannot overcome him. The enemy cannot take him off his throne. The enemy can't overpower him. The enemy cannot outthink him. The enemy cannot outwit him. He can't beat him in a battle. He can never figure him out because his ways are past finding out. He's too big to be found out. You know what the cross tells you and I? That we are victorious this morning in Christ Jesus. That's what it tells you and I. You know what the empty tomb says to you and I? It says God is still victorious. In Jesus' name, God is still victorious. Amen. You want to know what it means when Joshua marched around the walls of Jericho and those walls fell? Because God is still victorious. God is still powerful. Nothing can stop him. Nothing can hinder him. He is the Almighty God. Amen. And this morning you are victorious, not because of your strength, not because of who you are, but because of who you are associated with. You're associated with the Almighty God, and the devil knows it. And when the devil knows you got him on, you got on your side, the devil knows he can't do too much against you. He is limited. The enemy can't even attack you without permission. God has limited the enemy, and the devil is defeated this morning. Can somebody say amen to that? God has declared victory in your life. There are times in your life where you should have been down, but God said, no, you are victorious. There were times when you should have been killed, but God said, no, you are victorious. There were times when you were sick unto death, but God healed your body because God said, no, you are victorious. God has come into your life to make you victorious. And if God be for you, then who can be against you, the scripture says, because you are victorious in God this morning. The Bible tells us that God has given us the victory. It is ours this morning. Do you believe it? I believe this morning the victory is mine. There's victory ahead. There's victory right now. Amen. Some of you already received victory this morning. You came to the altar and you got it. Aren't you glad that you can just come and get it? Aren't you glad God offers it and you can have it? It's all yours. Victory is yours. The reason why Paul could say in 2 Corinthians 4, 8, and 9 about victory, he said, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. The reason why Paul could say that is because we are victorious no matter what situation we are in. Christian, you may be in a deep pit right now, but you are still victorious because of the God that you serve. The enemy might be laughing at you right now, but God's up there saying, I've got them covered. I don't know what you're laughing about. You're not going to have the last laugh. Aren't you glad God gets the last laugh? Victory implies this, that we have been in a fight. You don't know victory unless you've been fighting. Amen. Victory implies that you've been in a fight, and I know some of you know what it's like to be in a spiritual fight. I hope I've made it abundantly clear that we are in a spiritual war. I hope you understand that you are not dancing through the tulips and you're not going to make it to heaven without a fight. You're going to fight the devil all the way into the pearly gates, all the way into the throne room. You will find difficulty along this path. You will find temptations that will try to rip you down and tear you apart. You will find times in your life where the enemy tried to destroy your life. But I promise you this, that if you hold on to Christ, if you trust in the Lord and you hold on to Christ, you are already victorious, even though it doesn't look victorious around you. That doesn't matter. God isn't worried about what's around you. He already knows how to pull you out of what's around you. Amen. But you are definitely in a war. But I love these passages of this passage of scripture right here. Just these words, that you may be able to stand against. Because the Bible, Paul is teaching us that we have an assurance of victory here. He says this, that you may be able. And I want to look at just for a moment, may be able. This word, these words, may be able to stand. The word, go to the next one, sis. I think it's, there you go, may be able. Paul is saying two simple things here. Paul is stressing the importance of wearing the armor. When he uses the word maybe, what it means is put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able. You're not able by yourself. That's what this means. You're not going to be able to beat the enemy by yourself. You can't defeat him alone. You need God on your side. Amen? You need the Lord to be with you. You need the Lord to fight the battle with you. And so when you put on the whole armor of God, what you're saying is that I'm able now because God is with me. How many believe that you can overcome because God has overcome? Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In other words, you can use me. I've already defeated. I've already been victorious. So you can count on me. I'm trusting Christ to bring me through. Anybody else trusting Christ to bring you through? It may not look good, but God can still bring you through. You believe it this morning? Because victory is truly ours. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. And that word able simply means this, that Paul is assuring us that victory is ours. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Do you believe it? Do you believe that all power, God has given you the power to tread upon serpents this morning? Do you believe this morning that God has given you the ability to overcome the wiles of the devil because you put on the armor of God? Do you believe it this morning? Do you believe this morning that God has given the church the keys to the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven? Do you believe it this morning? Do you believe that God has given you power over the enemy? Because if you believe it, then you are already victorious no matter where you are in your life. The enemy has been defeated because you believe what God has said. Amen. Paul wants us to know this, that God has given us the victory. He never wanted to. His intention is not to make the enemy big and God small. His intention is to make God big and the enemy small. Paul wants to awaken us to this truth that we need to resist the enemy. Christian, there are going to be times in your life that you're going to have to resist the enemy. James said this, therefore submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Note this, that the power of resistance is in the submission to God. Hence, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Note that the power to resist is in submission. You submit to God, you can resist. You got the power, Christian, to tell the devil to get behind you. Do you believe it? You got the power to say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. Leave my family alone. Leave my children alone. Leave my husband alone. Leave my wife alone. Leave in the name of Jesus. You got the power to say that because if Christ is with you, God has given you such authority to rebuke the devil. Didn't Paul rebuke the devil? Didn't Peter rebuke the devil? Didn't the apostles teach us that there is power and authority through God's word to tell the sick body to be healed, to tell the dead to come up alive again? Didn't the Bible teach us that God has given us the power to walk with him? God has given us that power. And so there's an assurance to see this morning that you need to grab a hold of. You are not defeated, Christian. You are a victorious Christian. I don't care if you are in a lion's den. If you are in a lion's den, God knows how to make the lions go on a fast. Amen. I don't care if you are in a fiery furnace. You could be in a fiery furnace, but God knows how to quench the fires. And aren't you glad that when you are in a fiery furnace, God knows how to send the captain down, and the captain comes down. He'll walk in the fire with you. Amen. He'll get in there with you. You got to trust God that you are victorious this morning. Job didn't back down when his friends tried to tell him that the reason for all of his calamity was his own sin. He didn't back down. He resisted that. There are times, Christian, that you and I are going to resist the enemy. And what does resisting look like? What does it mean to resist? Well, Paul said it in Ephesians 6:11. He said, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against. That's what resistance is. Stand against. There are times that you're going to have to stand against. Christian, I am fed up. Fed up. And I'm going to, can I get mean? Is that all right? Are you going to love me after I do it? Can I get bold? Can I just step out there? I am sick and tired of the limp-wristed Christians The sissified that don't want to say nothing, don't want to offend nobody. I don't like God. I don't want no one to. God is a love. Therefore, I'm just going to trust His love, and I don't want to bring no offense. Let me tell you something. If the Word of God offends you, then obviously you needed to be offended. In my mind and in my heart, the Word of God is true. The Bible says that let God's Word be true, and every man a liar. Amen. Because God's Word is still truth today. You may not agree with it, but guess what? You don't get a vote. Amen. God didn't ask you for your opinion. And so God has commanded us to stand against things. And Christian, I am fed up with this PC culture, this political correctness, foolishness. Let me tell you something. If God's word's against it, I'm against it. And I don't care if the government accepts it. I don't care if they make it a crime. If they make it a crime, then to the lion's den we will go. And to the fiery furnace we will go. Whatever it takes, it doesn't matter. Our job as Christians at times is to resist the enemy and to stand against him and to say, devil, you're not allowed to go here. You're not allowed to say that. You know, the biggest problem today was we had sleepy Christians when they were taking prayer out of school. That's the problem. We got so many Christians today, they're afraid. They won't go to the public school and say a prayer because they're afraid of going to jail. They won't bring their Bibles to school. Why? Because they're afraid of going to jail. They're afraid of what has been done because the enemy. Let me tell you something. Devil, I hope you hear me real well. You got no authority in Kingman, Arizona. You've been evicted in this city, and God's given this place the victory because we're not going to be quiet anymore. Amen. We are wide awake and we see your evil ways, devil, but God is for us, and we're going to march around this city, and the walls that He has built are going to be fallen before the Lord. Amen. The devil's not allowed to have room anymore. Paul said, stand against. It simply means two simple things. It means there are times that you're going to take a fighting posture. We have too many Christians that don't want to fight. Let me tell you something, Christian. You're in a fight, so start fighting. Amen. You're in a war, and I know the war is a war of simply the word against the Word of God, and they're fighting against the Word of God. They don't want the Word of God. Just watch the news. Just watch the news. You'll hear it. You'll see it. You'll see the attack against God. You'll see the attack against morals. You'll see the attack. All you have to do is turn on the television, or better yet, go sit at Walmart and watch. You'll see it everywhere. It's everywhere, a constant attack. And so, Christian, put on your fighting boots. Get yourself in the posture ready for it. No one gets in a fight looking, standing there going, I don't know what to do. When you get into a fight, you put in yourself in the stance. You get ready. And Christian, you need to put yourself in those stance and get ready for the fight, because God has already declared one thing. You are victorious. The devil's already defeated. All you got to do is stand against. That's all God's asking you to do. He's asking you to be the stay. He's asking you to be His hands. He's asking you to be His voice. He's asking you to be His feet. He's asking you to be His representative. Is there anybody here willing to do what God has asked you to do? Then stand against the enemy, and don't be afraid when the enemy pokes up his head to slap him. Matter of fact, I've just gotten used to telling people they're stupid. Because if you don't tell them, they'll never know. Let me explain this to you. The truth sets you free. And if you withhold the truth, there'll never be freedom. There'll never be freedom. Matter of fact, I've just gotten so fed up with the junk. I mean, just the political foolishness that goes on today is just irritating. I just can't take anymore, so I quit being quiet. Now I'm on Facebook typing. Get him, Lord, get him. Amen. I've already got haters. Sometimes it means a fighting posture, but know this, sometimes it means a conquering posture. You know this, that when you stand for God, you are a conqueror already. The walls of Jericho already fell the first day that Joshua marched around the wall. God had declared it. He said, I'll drop the walls, Joshua. This is what you do. And Joshua obeyed the word of God. Note that the power of God flowed through an obedient heart. Note that. That obedient heart followed God, and God dropped the walls of Jericho. The walls fell because one man dared to trust God and stand against the wiles of the enemy. You need to understand that there are times where you're going to have to stand there and receive victory. There are times that you're going to have to fight for victory. But know this, whatever place you are in, you are victorious this morning. You are an overcomer because you are well able. God said, now unto him. Paul said, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think. Now unto him who is able. Does anybody in this house believe that we serve an able God? We serve a God who can do anything. He can shut everything down. He can change the circumstances. He can split a Red Sea and drop the walls. He can do it. Now know this, no matter what cunning, deceitful thing the enemy brings against you, you are an overcomer because you're armed. That's why the bear died at the hands of David. That's why the lion died at the hands of David. That's why the giant fell at the hands of David. That's why Peter was able to walk out of a prison when he was in the center part of the prison and locked down and guards sleeping on each side. He was still able to walk out because God says, you are victorious. Amen. God says it. Now, because you are victorious, you need to know this. Satan can never win. You hear me? Satan can't win. He is already defeated. Do you know that? I said he is already defeated. He knows Revelation. He knows where he's going. He knows the end of the book. And we know the end of the book. God wins. Amen. Just so you get the news, because maybe the church ain't going to be here. We'll probably be up there at that time. Amen. And just so you know, God wins in all the end. And the enemy right now is wreaking havoc on this planet. And if you were to look at the world, you would say, what's going on? Is God even here? Is God doing? But that's what you've got. The problem is you're looking at what the devil's doing. Maybe you need to look at what God is doing. Maybe you need to get yourself back in the Word of God and let God begin to feed your soul, because the enemy is already a defeated foe in your life. He is already lost because God has declared him a loser. Now listen, because he cannot win, the reason he cannot win is because God has cursed him. And what God curses, you can't bless. Amen? And neither can you curse what God blesses. Ask Balaam and his donkey. His donkey had more spiritual insight than Balaam did. Right? Balaam's going down there to curse the children of Israel, and his donkey starts talking, y'all, y'all, don't beat me, please stop. His donkey starts preaching at him, and he doesn't even get it. He's so spiritually not in tune with God, he's going up on a mountain to try to curse what God has blessed. And when he opens his mouth, God fills his mouth with blessings, because you cannot bless, you cannot curse what God has blessed, and you cannot bless what God has cursed. If God curses it, it's cursed. And God said to the serpent, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and on his belly is where he's been ever since that moment. And Satan, he said, your seed shall be, the serpent's head will be crushed by his heel, and you will bruise his heel. At that moment when God spoke those words, the enemy was defeated the moment God said it. He has been defeated from the moment. He's always been defeated. He was defeated when he was cast out. He'll be defeated when he's cast into the lake of fire. He will always be defeated. And because he's defeated, you're victorious. You're victorious. Now listen, I put this in big bold letters because I want to say it twice so you get it. The only victory the enemy can have is the victory you give him. The only victory the enemy's allowed to have in your life is the victory that you give him. If you give him the space, he'll take it. But you can shut the door and say you can't have it. And that's up to you, Christian. That's up to you, because God has said, no, I've given you the victory. I've given you the victory. And that doesn't even matter where you are. You got to understand that wherever you are, it doesn't matter. If you trust the Lord, you're going to come through it. God will bring you through it. Amen. I thank God for people who are willing to stand against the enemy. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood against the enemy that day, there was a big statue, and everybody was to bow down and pray. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stuck out like sore thumbs while they're standing there, everybody prostrate on the ground, worshiping this thing. There was a whole bunch of other Jewish boys there, and they bowed, but not these three boys. They refused to bow. I wonder if one of their friends began to tug on their robe. Hey, get down here. You're going to get in trouble. Remember, the political things today are not good. Get down. You need to cave down. Listen, just be accepting. No, that's not what they did. They stood out and they said, we will not bow. We will not bow. We will not cave. We will not receive that. And they refused to do it. And they even told Nebuchadnezzar, they said, we're not even careful to answer you about this. If you throw us in the furnace, it doesn't matter. We're going to be delivered from your hand no matter what happens, even in that furnace. If we die, we're delivered. If we live, we're delivered. We're not bowing down to this idol. Those people stood against it. They would not allow the enemy to have the victory in their lives. Christian, you cannot allow the enemy to have the victory in your lives. That's why Jesus came down and walked in the fire with them. Now listen. God has cursed him, and God has limited Satan's ability. We see this in Job's life. The devil had to ask God for permission to touch Job, and he was limited. Note that God said, you can go so far and not any further. The scripture tells us, the Psalms tells us that the Lord, the angel of the Lord, encamps around all them that fear him and delivers them. Aren't you thankful that the Lord camps around you because he delivers you? When I was a young person, my mom would pray for me at night and pray. And one of the things that was so peaceful to me was she would pray this prayer. She would say, Lord, camp your angel around our home and protect our home. And in my little heart and mind, I would look out that window and I go, there's an angel standing out there, devil. You can't get in here. You cannot get in here. There's an angel out there. The devil has, you're stopped outside there. We're being guarded tonight. I never feared a burglar. I never feared any. You know why? Because there's an angel outside. He's protecting us. He's guiding us. He's delivering us. And so I began to realize that the enemy was limited. Even at a young age, he was limited by God. When God is with you, the enemy is limited against you. But when you are on the enemy's side, he is willing to, he can steal from you. He can kill you. He can destroy you. And so I'm asking you, what's wrong with you that you're letting him do it? Why are you being stubborn? Give it back to God. I'm preaching to somebody specific right now. Give it back to God and come back to the Lord and quit running from God. You keep running to all the foolishness of the world, and it's ruining you and wrecking you. And God is saying, I got this for you. I've got deliverance for you. I've got peace for you. I've got joy for you. And yet you choose something else. Whoever that's for, the altar calls for you in a minute. Satan's ability has been limited. God said, with every temptation, there's a way of escape, and he'll never put on you more than you can bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13, look at this verse. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. In other words, you've been tempted like every man has been tempted. Your temptation isn't different from anyone else's. Aren't you thankful that someone that has been through what you're going through? Someone has been through what you're going through. And doesn't mean that what it means is that there's someone who can share with you the victory and tell you how victory comes. Aren't you thankful for that? I can't tell you how many times I've come to someone and said, I'm going through this. And they said, oh, I've been through that. Let me tell you what happened to me. And they shared their testimony in them. You know what I start saying? Lord, let that happen for me. Amen. Let that happen for me. There's no temptation taking you such as common to man. But God is faithful. Somebody say amen. God is faithful. Have you found him to be faithful? Faithful is, the Bible says, faithful is he that calleth you. Amen. He is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that you are able. Do you know that? Get that. Beyond that you are able. Note how many times the word able is in this verse. You are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God's saying that you are able. Paul said, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able. And God said, I'm going to give you the ability to be able to overcome every temptation that comes against you. Satan has been limited in your life. Jesus was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. Note this. Jesus was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness, and there he was tempted. Sometimes God leads you into the paths of the enemy. Well, that's foreign to Christian preaching today. Today we preach, no, God is love. He'll always, no, this is a New Testament verse, my dear friend. Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted. You will be led in places where the enemy is at to try you, to tempt you, to attack you. But God has a purpose in it. God has a reason in it. So here's my next point. Why does God allow such attacks against us? Why does God allow such attacks against us? And I'm sorry for the font size. I couldn't make it any bigger. Otherwise, it looked real weird. So, but there are five things I'm going to quickly go over. He knows the attacks will make us watchful. He knows that you'll be watchful. If the enemy, if everything is perfect and easy going, you're just going to float through and not even pay attention. You're not going to pay attention to the fact that you need to tell someone about Jesus. You're not going to pay attention to the fact that you need to be in prayer seeking God. You're not going to pay attention to the fact that you need to be faithful to God's house. Sometimes I pray for calamity to come to people's lives so they'll start coming back to church. Amen. Because sometimes we get into hard places and that's when we become watchful. Think back into your life when things got hard into your life. Isn't that when you opened your eyes? Isn't that when you said, what am I doing here? Amen. God will allow those times purposely to make you watchful. Number two, today's temptations create a stronger resolve for future sins. Christian, you could not handle today what you dealt with many years ago. I mean, you couldn't handle what you deal with today many years ago when you first got saved. Because God has strengthened you through the process of resistance. A bodybuilder gets in the gym and he can bench press maybe 150 pounds. And after he's done benching that, after time, he'll be able to get up to 200 pounds because he's been working himself out. Some of you Christians have gone through so much that what you went through before, you wish you could go back to the very beginning because that was easy child's play compared to what you're going through today. Because yesterday's temptations give you strength to overcome the temptations of today. Amen? You build strength through the resistance of the enemy. You build strength through that. The believer who has been severely tested is best equipped. The believer who has been severely tested is best equipped. Listen, Christian, we love our Navy SEALs. They're awesome men. Sometimes we just call the Navy SEALs to go do it because if we send the Marines, they'll just blow everything up. So we send the Navy SEALs to do the job, or we'll send the Army Rangers to do the job because they're specialized and they're trained to a greater degree and they're severely tested. Therefore, they are better equipped. We go to them first before we go to a major war. Why? Because they are better equipped. Some of you have been through temptation after temptation, struggle after struggle. Maybe God is equipping you to be more than just an average Christian sitting on a pew so you can do more for God, and God is strengthening you to count on you to do more for him than you ever thought you could ever do for him. Maybe you're a Navy SEAL in God's eyes or an Army Ranger. You're not a foot soldier. God has a special place for you. God puts you and tests you on purpose so that he can equip you. When you are wounded by temptation, God's love is revealed. Never has the tender hand and love of God been revealed to a life better than a time when you were in a dark place. When you were struggling, how many could testify right now and say, absolutely, that's when God really showed up. When I was falling apart, he came down. When I was wounded, he came down. When I was hurting, he was there. He poured in the oil and the wine, and he took care of me. That's what God did. God's love is truly revealed in the times of difficulty. That's when we learn to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. Because there are times in your life you're going to go through things you don't understand, but you're just going to have to trust God anyway. Amen? God's love is revealed during these times. God's love is revealed. Satan means to separate us from God, but God uses the temptation as a carrier of his love. And his love is revealed through these times in our life. Temptation is to faith as fire is to gold. Temptation is to faith as fire is to gold. Now, my wife, she absolutely loves pottery. I mean, matter of fact, I call her my pot dealer because she loves pottery so much. And she'll spend every waking moment researching, doing pots and things like that. She loves to do it. Matter of fact, I bought her a kiln and she stole half of my garage and she makes pots in my garage now. And she just loves that. And one of the things she taught me, I'm not very good at this, but one day she said, well, this needs to be vitrified. That was a big word. I didn't know what it meant. And I said, what does the word vitrified mean? She said, what it means is that I got to put this in the fire and get it so hot that it will actually hold liquid. If I don't heat it up enough, it'll leak. It will absorb it. It will not hold it. It will not take care. It won't be a sustainable vessel. And so I feel like God may have put you in a hot fire because some of you need to be vitrified. So you can hold what God wants to put in you. So God will turn up the heat in your life from time to time so that he can actually strengthen you and make you solid. Some of you couldn't even handle the Holy Ghost because you're a leaky vessel. You absorb too much instead of pouring out into others. You got to understand, the ones who get used as cups are the ones who are willing to serve. What do the cups in your cupboard do? When a company comes to your house, you pull out a cup and you get them a glass of water. What is that cup there to do? It's to serve your guest. Am I right? You are a vessel unto God that God wants to pour into. And if you're too leaky, he can't pour into you what he wants to pour into you. Or you'll absorb it because you're too self-centered. And so you can't. You'll absorb all of it instead of pouring out into someone else's life. So God turns up the fire so that you can be purified or vitrified. I'm saying it right? Vitrified so that you can actually sustain and hold everything God gives you. So God will use the enemy. I want you to know something about Satan. He is a tool in God's handy bag. He's a tool. And God uses him, and then one day he's going to flick him into the fiery furnace. That's what's going to happen. The enemy is defeated. He has lost. And let me conclude with this, and then I'm done. I tried to preach like Brother Man. I just can't do it. Let me conclude with this. God is in control. Paul said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Your ability to stand is in God, and God is in control. God is not worried about what's going on today. When you woke up this morning, God wasn't pulling his hair out going, what do I do? God wasn't frustrated. God wasn't concerned. He wasn't looking at the political climate of our day going, oh my goodness, there is a whole bunch of problems. I don't know how I'm going to fix this. I don't know what I'm going to do about this. He didn't have any of those things. God didn't say one. He's not worried about it. He's not frustrated about it. As a matter of fact, God looks at all of it, and he even gets a good chuckle out of the people who think they got the power over him to overcome him. They got no power. They've got no ability to stop him. If God wanted to crush America, he could crush it right now. If God wanted to crush other countries, he could crush it right now. If he wanted to take out the president, he could take out the president. If he wanted to take out other leaders and foreign leaders, he could take them out right now. This earth belongs to God, and the people who live on it are breathing his air, walking on his planet, living under his domain. God's the one who's in control. He is not a defeated person. Satan has already lost. He is defeated. He knows he's defeated. And you need to know this, that because you serve him, you are also victorious with him. Hallelujah. William Gurnall put it this way. I like this. And I believe we got it. William Gurnall said, if you never experienced the mighty power of Satan arrayed against you, you could not know the almighty power of God displayed for you. If you had never been in a battle where the enemy and the heat was on, you'll never know the delivering power of God. How many could say God has delivered you a time or two? Amen. Because you were in a battle, God stepped in and pulled you out. That's because, let me tell you why. God is in control. God is in control. Because he's in control, you don't have to worry. Go ahead, watch the news, but laugh because you know this, God is in control. Go ahead, listen to all the negativity, but know this, God is in control. Go ahead, watch what the world is doing and how they refuse and reject God. Watch it, but you can also chuckle in your heart because you know this, God is still in control. Amen? God is in control. The battle is between Christ and Satan, and Christ has won. Jesus said, "It is finished." And he put a death hold on Satan. He went and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He holds them. He is the one in Revelation who was found worthy to open up the seals on the book. When John said there was nobody found worthy, he began to weep and cry. But one touched him and said, "Don't weep and cry, John. There's one who's overcome. There's one who's overcome. Aren't you glad there's one that's overcome? His name is Jesus Christ, and he's the one." And out of the midst of the throne, the Bible said there was a lamb, though it had been slain, and it began to get brighter and stronger. And he come off the throne, and he took hold of the book on this that was sealed on them under the hands of him who sat on the throne, and they said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that was slain, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he has prevailed, he has prevailed." And aren't you glad this morning that Christ has prevailed? So let me remind you, Christian, the battle is not yours, it is the Lord's battle, and if it's the Lord's battle, he's already won. Hallelujah. He's already won. God is in control. And because he's in control, he says, "Christian, you are more than a conqueror."